Tonight, former Maslock CEO Sedina Tamaklu has regained her freedom after the Attorney General withdrew an application seeking to stay the execution of her sentence pending an appeal at the Supreme Court. We find out what transpired and informed the Attorney General's decision to drop the case and free Sedina Tamaklu. We get a reaction from legal experts and the NPP, which accused government of shielding its own. All these and more coming up on Top Story. Top Story is brought to you by Telesell, Connecting Energies, Shield Pension Trust, Into the Future with you, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Don't go anywhere. This is Top Story. My name is Kenneth Jesse. We begin with this breaking news, which is that former Maslock CEO Sedina Tamaklu has regained her freedom after the Attorney General withdrew an application seeking to stay the execution of her sentence pending an appeal at the Supreme Court. Tamaklu was released from prison a while ago following the AG's decision to discontinue the stay of execution application. The move effectively paves the way for her to walk free after the Court of Appeal earlier quashed her conviction and 10-year sentence for causing financial loss to the state and other offences related to the microfinance and small loans centre, Maslock, which she headed. Let's bring in our legal affairs correspondent Kwikwa Santi, who was in court for us earlier, for more on what happened in court earlier today. Kwiku, welcome to the program. Walk us through what happened in court today.
So this, well, the business of the day was the Attorney General's application to stay the execution of the judgment of the Court of Appeal 2 weeks ago, which acquitted and discharged Sedina Tamaklu Akinu. As we know, the Attorney General's insistence is that the acquittal and discharge was in error and that he believes that he has a high chance in the appeal that he has filed before the Supreme Court. And so until the full appeal is determined by the Supreme Court, he wanted Madame Sedina Tamaklu Akinu to be in jail until then for fear that Madame Sedina Tamaklu may abscond from the jurisdiction, etc., etc. And that argument was actually held just before the court went on legal vacation. However, the court could not reach a decision and inform the parties that they were going to seek a warrant from the Chief Justice so that they will be able to sit during the vacation and offer their ruling on the specific application. Today, the three-member panel sat and were ready to read out their ruling, and the state attorneys that represented the Attorney General's Department in court were on their feet. And according to them, they had withdrawn the application. They had filed a notice of the withdrawal, and same had been served on the other party. The court also had it on their on its docket. And as far as they're concerned, they were not really interested in moving forward with that application. And being the party that brought the matter before court, and now saying they were not interested in moving it forward, the court had to strike it out as withdrawn. The lawyers for Sedina Tamaklu were not opposed, except a little objection to say that as far as they were concerned, that application to withdraw or that notice to withdraw should have been by leave of court, but that was not a substantive objection. So the court struck out the proceedings as withdrawn. And as we know now, not only has the application been withdrawn, Madame Sedina Tamaklu has now been released from custody. And the Attorney General has actually since then, in particular, prior to today, applied to the Supreme Court to have the conviction restated by way of the appeal, but also to keep Sedina Tamaklu in jail. And so that application for stay of execution has also been filed at the Supreme Court. Understanding is that on the 13th of October, that application will be moved, and then the Supreme Court will be seized with the matter and then make a determination. Mm-hmm. But in between that, I can confirm that Madame Sedina Tamaklu had her release warrant signed earlier today, and she has been released from prison custody.
Interesting. And can the Supreme Court still order Sedina's return to prison if it eventually overturns the Court of Appeals decision? Or does today's development change her legal position?
Well, if the Supreme Court were to hold that the Attorney General's application to stay the execution of the Court of Appeals judgment has merit, yes, then indeed, Madame Sedina Tamaklu would have to go back to jail. Because what that would mean is that the acquittal and discharge has been stayed. Of course, there are those who hold the view that an acquittal and discharge cannot be stayed. It is not an ordinary judgment of a court. especially even in a civil proceeding, to be stayed in the first place. But that is up to the Supreme Court to now decide. But if the court were to help agreeing with the Attorney General, Madam Ferdinand Tamakulu would have to return to prison pending the determination of the appeal. But I suspect Madam Ferdinand Tamakulu will not be so much worried about that now, because that application itself will be moved at the Supreme Court at least in the next 2 months. But before then, she has just regained her freedom and has reconnected with her family.
Kwaku Asante there. He's a legal affairs correspondent. He was in court earlier for us and witnessed proceedings. And if you just joined us, the breaking news just came through is that former Maslock CEO Ferdinand Tamakulu has regained her freedom after the Attorney General withdrew an application seeking to stay the execution of her sentence pending an appeal at the Supreme Court. Ferdinand Tamakulu was released from prison a while ago following the AG's decision to discontinue the stay application. The move effectively paves the way for her to walk free, at least for now, after the Court of Appeal earlier quashed her conviction and 10-year sentence for causing financial loss to the state and other offences related to the Microfinance and Small Loans Center, Maslock, which she used to be CEO. This is still Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connect and Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep, Shield Pension Trust into the future with you. My name is Kenneth Jesse, and if you just joined us, as I mentioned earlier, the story that we're bringing to you right now is a breaking news story, and it is that former Maslock CEO Ferdinand Tamakulu Ationu has regained her freedom after the Attorney General withdrew an application seeking to stay the execution of her sentence pending an appeal at the Supreme Court. Well, Tamakulu was released from prison a while ago following the AG's decision to discontinue the stay application, and the move effectively paves the way for her to walk free, at least for now, after the Court of Appeal earlier quashed her conviction and 10-year sentence for causing financial loss to the state and other related offences to the Maslock, where she used to be CEO. We're trying to raise the lawyers for Ferdinand Tamakulu to understand what this means for their clients. We'll also try to get the opposition NPP, who have always maintained that this is a politically motivated ruling by the Court of Appeal. And then also they say that the AG, in fact, did not have any interest for Ferdinand Tamakulu to remain in prison. So now that Ferdinand Tamakulu has regained her freedom, what does the minority think of that? We'll try to raise them on the line. But at the moment, though, let's bring you other stories related to the court. And it is that former CEO of the National Buffer Stock Company, Abdul Wahab, may appear before the Accra High Court on Monday without legal representation after his lead counsel reported being unwell. Hanan, who is the first person accused in the case, told the court that his lawyer, former Attorney General Godfrey Dame, could not appear due to ill health and is currently receiving medical attention. Well, the development comes against the backdrop of an escalating legal dispute over the Chief Justice's directive from setting criminal cases to proceed during the legal vacation. A legal affairs correspondent, Fatao Bayaga, has more. And when we return from that, we will delve deeper into the breaking news story that we have for you right now. Listen.
Hanan arrived at the Accra High Court alongside his wife, with his legal team absent. He told the court that his lead counsel, former Attorney General Godfrey Obadame, was unwell and currently on admission. Hanan's wife, Faiza Winnie, who is the second accused person, also informed the court that her counsel, Augustine Obo, was indisposed, explaining why he could not appear before the court. However, Deputy Attorney General Justice Simsai questioned the explanation given by Dame's absence. He told the court that the lawyer had previously indicated that he would not be available during the legal vacation and had subsequently petitioned the Chief Justice over the decision to proceed with the trial during that period. Semsai further argued that if ill health was being relied upon as the reason for counsel's absence, the court ought to have been provided with medical evidence to substantiate the claim. Meanwhile, Hanan told the court that he had received a copy of an application for stay of proceedings filed at the Court of Appeal, which is scheduled to be heard on October 19. He therefore appealed for a longer adjournment to allow the appellate proceedings to take their course. The presiding judge, Justice Francis Apanga Chibonga, however, adjourned the matter to August 17, directing counsel for the first accused to appear and address the court on the pending application for stay of proceedings. For Joy News, Fatawa Bayaga, Accra High Court.
Well, let's go on to the telephone lines right now and speak to Japa Mesa. He's a lawyer and also a member of the opposition NPP. Welcome to the program. Your party, the NPP, previously accused the government of shielding Sedina at Tamaklu. Now that the AG has withdrawn the stay application and she has been released, do you feel this vindicates that accusation or it changes your assessment?
Well, let me say good evening to your cherished listeners. And to say that I really am not surprised. The script that was formulated when the NDC came into office, commencing with the only proof required that they entered for all persons affiliated with the NDC who were standing trial in the courts. Subsequently, this appeal that had been filed as far back as May 2024, no step had been taken whatsoever. All of a sudden, it's relisted that Attorney General refused to file written submissions in which asserts that some parts of the proceedings itself were not available to the Attorney General's office at the time that they were filing their written submissions. Subsequently, the Court of Appeal acquits and discharges her, and the Attorney General quickly comes to tell us that, hey, I'm unhappy with the outcome of the Court of Appeal decision and that I'm going to appeal it to the Supreme Court. Some people prophesized that this was not going to amount to much. And today, we've seen that what people have prophesied have actually come to fruition. It's got for the good people of this country to determine whether, indeed and in fact, the ends of justice have been met, or that is the usual politicking, where opponents of the party in office are victimized, taken through the processes of the law, and people who are aligned to the governing parties are set free. I have consistently maintained that for we, the NPP, we are not opposed to people who have served in that Akufo-Addo administration being held to account, because we believe in the tenets of the democracy, of the Constitution, which includes accountability. And so people who serve in government of necessity, but when it's selective, when there's cherry picking, when it's obvious to everybody that when it comes to some segment of the Ghanaian populace who are affiliated to a particular party, assuming without admitting that that in itself is not true, the kinds of things that we've seen clearly feeds into the perception that this government is out to set the people affiliated to it free and to hold them people to account. We are ready. We'll see how it plays out. And I know that in the fullness of time, whatever it is that the chips opt for would certainly fall.
Don't you think the accusations leveled against government as of now are a bit premature, because it was the Court of Appeal rather than government that ultimately acquitted and discharged Sedina? So is it fair to characterize a release as a government decision when the immediate trigger was really a judicial ruling?
See, this gotcha question, right, is not fair to me. I think if you directed it to the people who accused the court when they were in opposition as being an appendage of the executive. Because I'm a lawyer. I believe firmly in the independence of the judiciary. Of course, I hear people say stuff, but I've never, and I will never, bring the reputation of the judiciary into dispute. But I'm saying that if the people who are today in government allege that the when executive was in cahoots with the executive, when decisions of the court went against them, that amounted to the judiciary being an appendage of the government, then what is their response today when people have that same perception regarding what is pertaining as we see today?
Don't go yet. Let me bring in Abraham Amalaba. He's the former director of legal affairs with the governing NDC. Mr. Amalaba, welcome to the program. I want to pick your initial reaction to Sedina Tamaklu finally being released from prison.
Thank you for having me. That is the logical conclusion. Once the court said she was acquitted and discharged, normally there will be a 7 days lull period where the orders of the court will not be affected. After 7 days, yeah, she's ready, she's prepared, or she can go home, walk free, go home. So I didn't expect anything from apart from that.
There are concerns as to why government through the Attorney General withdrew that suit or stay of execution processes filed at the Court of Appeal, which eventually led to this ruling that we have today. Why did government do that? Do you know?
I can only hazard a guess, and the guess is that if you know that, don't forget that the appeal was filed at the time when the judgment was not before the Attorney General. You remember he said that in his press conference. He said that this morning, that was when he was speaking, that he has a soft copy, he has not read it yet, but he has ordered the DPP. I'm sure after reading it, he comes to the firm conclusion that there's nothing to appeal, and that when you appeal, you will lose. Don't forget that this Attorney General has always said that I will only go to court if there's evidence. So probably he has taken a second look at his own decision and decided to withdraw.
Well, I have a Japan Mesa on the line. He, together with the NPP, are saying, we told you so. This is something that the government had always wanted, pretending to be in pursuit of keeping Sedina Tamaklu in jail. Finally, she's been released from prison custody. Is this something that the government wanted, you think?
I don't like people who don't talk law. I only like a lawyer to be speaking law. You told me so. If the law does not allow that, how will that happen? Which part of the judgment that freed her is in question? So I'm not going to engage. When I meet somebody who's not a lawyer, I can go political. But lawyers should stay within the law. So if the Supreme Court that he says he respects hadn't acquitted and discharged the lady, even if we as a party wanted to do it, how could we have done it? So another arm of government, independent as it is and respectable as it is, gave that ruling. And so if that ruling comes from the judiciary, why do you say that you told her so?
Right. The man to answer the question is also.
And don't forget that under the law, the president could have even pardoned her. You know that. If that had been done, then you can say we told you so. But how can the decision of a Supreme Court a court of competent jurisdiction now be a matter that we told you so? It cannot be. So I think that they should speak law and start speaking with emotions.
Well, Andrew Japar-Mesa is still on the line with me. Mr. Japar-Mesa, you've been listening to your colleague on the NDC side.
Why would I be emotional about this matter? I'm not related or associated with the lady in any way. Whether the NDC government only 2 years ago accused the judiciary as being biased, today sees the judiciary as independent, then hallelujah. For me, it's the progress for our democracy that at least today we all agree, in quotes, that the judiciary is independent. So the question that the good people of Ghana ought to be asking them, that when did they begin to realize that the judiciary was independent? Was it only when they came into government or when they were in opposition that decisions of the Superior Court was not in their favor? They still believed that the judiciary was independent. Look, this question about the Attorney General indicating that he hadn't read the judgment and proceeded to file an appeal at the Supreme Court, okay? Dominic is my good friend. He actually taught me some law in law faculty. But I'm wondering whether it has been suggested that the Attorney General of the Republic did not review the decision of the Court of Appeal before he proceeded to tell Ghanaians that he was filing an appeal. Is that it? When the 7 days that he himself alludes to had not expired. So what was the basis of the assurance that the Attorney General gave to the people of Ghana that, look, I'm not happy with the decision of the Court of Appeal, and so I'm going to appeal? So all I'm saying is that their own actions feed into the perception that this is scripted. It's scripted. For any objective Ghanaian who is watching the space, for a government that came into office on the back of anti-corruption, the fight against corruption, for a government that made oral as a key campaign commitment to come into government, and the first act was to free people who were standing trial from their stock. What does it tell you? Like I said, but we in the MPP, we would raise the issues and highlight them for Ghanaians to see the hypocrisy of the NDC. And they have to be the judges, not us. So it's not a question of me being emotional. I really don't give, pardon my friends, but really, whether she goes in or out, it's neither here nor there. It doesn't affect me in any way. But I'm saying that the people who preach probity and accountability today, per their own actions, are telling Ghanaians that when it affects them, then the law can, you know, be thrown wherever they want to throw it. And when it affects the opposition, but the skills could certainly change someday.
Mm. Mr. Japar-Mesa, I still have Ibrahim Amaliba on the line. He has refuted those allegations again and again, and he's actually challenging you to tell us which section of the law was breached in freeing Sedina Tamaklou.
I should tell you the section of the law that was breached.
Yes, that's what Ibrahim Amaliba is insisting.
So when is the time to ask him what time frame that the law imposes on parties who file an appeal to prosecute the appeal? Let him tell us why Sedina Tamaklou filed her appeal in May of 2024 and went to sleep until April 2026 before they picked it up. Let him tell us. Look, he says that when he's arguing with lawyers, right? Then he won't go political. But he knows, as far as I, that as much as I do, that, like they say, the law is in the bosom of the judge. And so, judges give decisions and find law to back it. But I don't have any problem. Like I said, look, we will raise the issues. If Ghanaians think that, well, no law has been breached and that the due process has been followed and Madam Sedram Tabaklo is duly entitled to go home after all the allegations that were leveled against her that were established in the trial, which then necessitated her having to take leave, travel out of the country, and refuse to return. Today, we are being told that people who are seeking for their trials to be set until 10 times are afraid, right, and want to delay the trial because they have cobwebs in their closet. But we are being told also that, well, same people who left the country, fled, essentially, and chose not to return to stand trial are guiltless, and that if the Court of Appeal sets them free and the Attorney General comes to tell Ghanaians that I'm unhappy with the decision of the Court of Appeal and I'm going to appeal, that Attorney General can withdraw the appeal or the application that he filed on the day of the hearing for the lady to be set free. Hallelujah.
Well, let me bring in Abraham Amaleba to respond to that. Mr. Amaleba, I want to give you some few minutes to respond to Mr. Ejapa Mesa.
I don't like a lawyer who would always be quoting the court of public opinion and run with it. Nobody in the judiciary has said Ken Oforata is guilty. If people walking on the streets say Ken Oforata is guilty, why, as a lawyer, do you have a problem with that? The court of public opinion does not determine the guilt of a person. That must be told. Now, what it means with the release of Atiano is that Ken Oforata could actually come back home, and if the court finds that he's not guilty, he'll walk free. That's what it also means. So I'm not going to marry the public opinions and then talk about it as if that's what the court said. The court didn't say Ken Oforata is guilty. The next point is that the fact that you are preaching probity, accountability, and oral does not mean that chinchina, don't mind my Ghanaian expression, if you don't like somebody's face, you must bundle that person into the prison. That's not what it means. So we may be fighting oral, but if the court says that she's done nothing wrong, you still want us to keep her there because we are fighting oral? What kind of analysis is that?
But Mr. Ejapa Mesa raises a concern, which of course have been shared by a cross-section of the MPP members, saying that, for example, if you look at the timeline with which Sedina Tamaklo filed her appeal and how it was expedited just beginning this April, that fuels into the argument that they have been making, Ejapa Mesa and this party have been making, that this is indeed politically motivated.
Haven't we had an appeal or a process that was filed at 10 a.m. and by 12 it was heard and the matter closed? Cast your mind back. Haven't we had that? That is within the preserve of the judiciary. They will determine how to deal with their matters. It's just like parliament being masters of its own rule. You don't determine that for them. So where from this? And I think that it is important to state that when Ken, the national, former national security coordinator, Ken Dapa said, when rulings of the Supreme Court goes one way, one way, one way, it heightens the security of the state. That was not an NDC person saying that.
Mm.
Was there an NDC person saying that? So they should give us a break.
Right, Abraham Amaliba, thank you very much. He's the former director of legal affairs of the governing NDC. We also heard from Andrew Ejapa, who is a member of the NPP and a lawyer as well. It's